The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Well, praise God. I know you all enjoyed those special songs this morning and testimonies. And we're so thankful to everyone who took the time to record those. And praise God. I think Todd did a great job putting it together. Sound sounded great. Thank everyone for participating and helping out with that. I want to encourage everyone to stay connected in some way. We have our Zoom life groups that we're doing regularly every week. So get in, if you'd like to be involved with a Zoom life group, please get in contact with us. We'll get you connected to a group. There's several of them going on that you can be involved with. We're trying our best to stay connected through this difficult time. This is a difficult time for many people, but it's also a time for us to draw together and to focus on our families, focus on our relationship with the Lord, get close to the Lord. You know, this pandemic is, we believe it's going to pass. But you know what? This is a fallen world that we live in. Things are going to happen. Circumstances are going to come up, and problems are going to arise. Natural disasters are going to happen. It's time to be close to the Lord. We are living in the last days, and we need to be close to the Lord God. We don't know what's going to come tomorrow. Jesus said, it's going to rain on the just and the unjust. Things are going to happen in this world. Without a relationship with the Lord, I don't know how people get through it. So I just want to encourage you, draw in, draw close, hear what God is saying to you. Trust Him, because even in a situation like this, we can glean something from the Lord. He's always trying to teach us something. And if we will hear His voice, we will be able to glean some kind of learning experience from what we're going through right now. And most of that is to just draw to Him, draw into Him, draw close to Him, hear what He's saying. Well, we're talking about resurrection, and I'm so excited about being able to share a word with you this morning in regards to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My message has been, behold the Lamb. Today's message is, it is finished. That's what Jesus said when He was passing on the cross. But He just meant that it was, the sacrifice was finished, and it was time for the complete and total plan of God to be fulfilled. John saw Jesus coming in John chapter 1, verse 29. John the Baptist saw Him coming, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that's what we must recognize and focus on, is that we're, this morning, this is not, even though our traditions say it's about family time, and that's a little difficult right now. People are not being able to come together like we normally do for Easter. It's a great family time. And praise God, I'm glad that we do have that tradition of family. But it's not about family time. It's not so much, it's definitely not about Easter bunny and eggs and all those things that we do at this time of year. The reality is, this is a celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He came back to life, He defeated death and hell, and He did it for you and me. And that's what we're celebrating this morning. We must know who He is. This week I read a little joke about three gentlemen who were in the state hospital, and they were sitting around discussing their identity. And the first guy said, well, you know, I'm Napoleon Bonaparte. And the second guy said, that's impossible. I'm Napoleon Bonaparte. And the first guy said, what makes you think you're Napoleon Bonaparte? And the second, and he said, who in the world told you that you were Napoleon Bonaparte? And the second guy said, well, I'm Napoleon Bonaparte because God told me. That got the attention of the third guy. He looked up at both of them and he said, I want you both to know, I did not tell him that. That's a crazy little story, but no one takes anybody serious who says they're Napoleon Bonaparte, or particularly who says they're God or Jesus. However, there was one who walked on the face of the earth, who claimed to be God in the flesh, claimed to be the Son of God, who died on the cross for our sins, and we do need to listen to him and recognize that he truly is who he said he was and is. He's the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is our Savior. So today, as we celebrate the risen Savior, I just want to say a few things in regards to what was taking place up to the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fact that he defeated death and hell. We see in Scripture this story, but history also tells us that there was a man named Jesus who walked on the face of the earth somewhere around AD 33, and that man died on a cruel Roman cross. So historically, there's proof that Jesus walked. He was here. This is not a fable, made-up story. What you have to come to the conclusion of in your own heart is this. Was he God, like he claimed to be? And did he not only die, and was he buried during that period of time in history, but did he actually come back to life to defeat death and hell? He shed his blood, and he came back to life to defeat death and hell for you. This is a personal thing. This is something that each and every one of us has to accept. This is God's way. We're going to be talking a little bit this morning about the Feast of Passover. This is God's commandment to Moses and to Jewish people, and it took place during the time of slavery in Egypt. I'm going to be reading from Exodus chapter 2, verse 3 through 7, if you'd like to get your Bibles out and follow along. It says this, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you will keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it together." Exodus chapter 12, verse 3 through 7. This is the commandment that God gave to the Jewish people, the Hebrews, to remember, to recall the deliverance, the great deliverance from Egypt, and what God did on their behalf and how he used Moses to deliver them. God is always all about you using people to accomplish his will. And the thing that we recognize is that Jesus, yes, he was human. He was all human, but he was also all God. And he came, it was God in the flesh who came to this earth to die for our sins. But he came as a human being so that mankind could be set free from the bondage of sin. Last week, I stopped teaching where Jesus had come into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, somewhere between 100 and 120,000 people. Some say 150 to 200,000 people were in Jerusalem during that period of time because they were there to celebrate the Feast of Passover. And the people proclaimed Jesus as the Son of David. They said, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And the reality is, as I pointed out, most of them did this not because they believed it, but because tradition was mandating that they all come into the streets and proclaim Hosanna to the Son of David. The same reason thousands of these people did this is the same reason that thousands of people, and usually on this very Sunday, people come to church to worship God, because it's tradition to do so. It's tradition to worship God on Easter. Some people usually come to church when they don't go to church any other time. But I want to make something perfectly clear to you. It's not about church attendance, but it is about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will fulfill His commandments in your life. And He commanded that we gather together as believers in Jesus. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm going to invite you this morning to listen closely to the things that I have to say, because I want you to be a part of the kingdom of God. If you're a part of Bethel, praise God. I appreciate that. I'm glad that you're a regular attender here, but we're having some people watch this that normally do not attend Bethel. And maybe you're just a part of the body of Christ, because we all are a part of the body of Christ all over the world, as long as we know Christ as our personal Savior. So I'm thankful for everyone who is listening to this. The tradition at that time was for the high priest to go to Bethlehem, pick out a Passover lamb, and come back. He selected one without spot or blemish, as Exodus told us. And according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, this was leading up to the three spring feasts that were going to be fulfilled. That was Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Each one of these feasts were very important. This was the 10th of Abib that Jesus entered in to Jerusalem riding on the colt, the foal of a donkey. But 4 days later is when he was going to become the Passover lamb. Early morning of the 14th of Abib, Jesus was betrayed by Judas and arrested by the Sanhedrin. That afternoon, the sacrifice of the Passover lambs was to begin. This all coincides with God's plan. I want you to understand, this is not coincidence. God planned all this in order for mankind to recognize that He has an order of things. His moedims, or His feasts, are His prophetic utterance to mankind to recognize that God has a plan. His plan was His Son would come, die on the cross, come back to life, and fulfill the Scripture. But His plan also is that man, that His Son, Jesus Christ, is going to return to this earth one day. Will you be ready? That's my question to you this morning. The Scripture tells us that the purpose of the lamb being brought to Jerusalem on the 10th was so that all of Jerusalem could inspect Him. And for 4 days, they were to inspect the lambs that they brought into their home. The high priest was to inspect the lamb that he chose for all of Israel. And everybody in Israel was to inspect their lambs to make sure they were without spot or blemish. They were perfect. Jesus was inspected for 4 days throughout that period of time. He was inspected by the people as He performed miracles and proved Himself to be the perfect Lamb of God. But then on the 14th, after He was betrayed by Judas, He was taken to Caiaphas, the high priest, who inspected Him and looked Him over, and he couldn't find any fault in Him. He sent Him back to Pilate, the Roman governor, who then sent Him to Herod, the Jewish ruler, who couldn't find any fault in Him, and sent Him back to Pilate. By this time, it was time for the high priest to be on the Temple Mount. He was inspecting the Passover lamb for the last time before it was to be sacrificed. Tradition says that the high priest would inspect the lamb, and he was compelled to do two things. First of all, he would wash his hands, and then he would cry out to the whole congregation of Israel, "I find no fault." Everyone knew that he had inspected the lamb for the last time and he could find no fault in that lamb. It was going to be used as the Passover lamb. When Pilate inspected Jesus for the second time, he turned to the people, according to John 19:6, and he cried out, "I find no fault." It is incredible to me the detail in the last days of Jesus, how he fulfilled every part, not only the scripture part of the Moedim of the Passover, but he also fulfilled the traditions were fulfilled as well in Jesus Christ. Then Jesus was taken and he was prepared to be slain as the Lamb of God. In Luke chapter 23, it says this, verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. All these times are very important because they're fulfilling God's feasts, God's Moedims. And it's important for us to understand how all this falls into place. You see, the Orthodox Jews were all going to begin sacrificing their lambs and in the sacrifice before sunset, before the sun went down, in order to begin celebrating the Passover, or the Moedim of Passover. As they began to do this, the scripture says that Jesus was there on the sixth hour, which was noon, and then on the ninth hour, which was 3 p.m., Jesus passed away on the cross. The law said that the lamb had to be killed by twilight. Now, listen to this, because this is all according to historical facts and tradition. According to Josephus, the first century Jewish historian, the Pharisees held to the tradition that twilight was from the lengthening of shadows to the sunset, which is the lengthening of shadows is about 3 p.m. So the last lamb, which was sacrificed by the high priest, was sacrificed at approximately 3 p.m., right around the same time that Jesus gave up his spirit on the cross. As Jesus hung on the cross, very near death, he realized that everything had been finished. And his final words, first of all, he said in John 19:28, he said, "I thirst," to fulfill the tradition. And when they gave him vinegar, he turned his head away. And when he had received it, he said this, "It is finished," fulfilling all the law and all the tradition of the Jewish Sanhedrin and priesthood. Right before that, or right around that same time, the high priest was on the Temple Mount. Tradition says he would wash his hands. He would cry out, "I thirst." They would bring him a drink of water. And after he drank the water, he would cry out, "It is finished." Completely and totally fulfilling their tradition as Jesus fulfilled their tradition. Jesus was the Lamb of God. He died on the cross for our sins at exactly the time in history when God ordained it to happen. At exactly the time of God's feasts would be fulfilled so that all the world could see. Now, in history, in Christendom, we have lost the understanding of the Jewish Moedims. Because we've put them aside, we've put aside our Jewish Judeo-Christian heritage. Yes, we have a great heritage from the Jewish people, and we need to recognize that. And we've forgotten that. Today, I want you to know that those traditions are a part of our Christianity. Not that we are tied to any tradition, but those traditions fulfill the scripture as well. Jesus was sacrificed. He fulfilled God's prophetic calendar, his Moedims. He was buried. He spent the first day of unleavened bread in the tomb because he is without sin. And he delivered us from death and hell when he came back to life on the third day, which was the first day of first fruits. He became the first fruits of those who will rise from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But now in Christ, risen from the dead, and became the first fruits of them that slept," or all who sleep and who will pass from this earth. Jesus died on the cross. He didn't swoon like some would try to get you to believe, that he just swooned. He appeared to be dead. They put him in a tomb, and he came back to life. Impossible. A few years ago, Irma Bombeck, who was a humorist, and she had a newspaper column that was nationwide, she was very well known. She passed away in the 1990s. She did her column. She produced her column from the 60s through the 90s. But someone wrote into her, and they said to her, they titled their question, Bewildered. And they said to Irma, they said, "My pastor preached on Sunday that Jesus just swooned on the cross. He didn't really die." And Irma's response to that was classic. She said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Take your pastor out and beat him with a cat of nine tails until his flesh looks like hamburger. Take him and force him to carry his cross to the place where you're going to put him on that cross and drive nails in his hands and his feet and let him hang there in the hot sun for 6 hours. Then take a spear and drive it in his side up under his rib cage into his heart until fluids pour out. Then take him and put him in a tomb. Roll a rock across that tomb and tell him that you'll be back to check on him in 3 days. And find out what he thinks about what Christ went through on the cross." You see, Jesus really did die on the cross. There's no doubt about it. But he overcame death and hell.
Yes, he did.
He came back to life. He did it through the power of Holy Spirit that lived inside of him. He did it because he was God in the flesh. He did it because he was the creator of all things. He did it because he loved us. He loved you so much that he gave his life for you. History records Jesus, the Jewish carpenter, lived in Palestine. He died on a cruel cross. The Bible tells us that he came back to life. And he was seen by over 500 people. Historical document. The books of the Old Testament contain many passages about the Messiah. Some say there's over 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. In his book, Science Speaks, Dr. Peter Stoner says that there's 8 prophecies, that if a man performed 8 prophecies, the odds were incredible. But let me give you just 8 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled when he walked on the face of the earth. Prophecies that were given at least 300 years, and some of them 1,000 years, before Jesus walked on the face of the earth. The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. The Messiah will be born of a virgin, 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. The Messiah will be a prophet like Moses, Deuteronomy 18:15. The Messiah will enter Jerusalem triumphantly, Zechariah 9:9. The Messiah will be betrayed by one of his followers, Psalms 41:9. The Messiah will be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 11:12-13. The Messiah will be smitten and spat upon. Isaiah 56. The Messiah will die by crucifixion. with pierced hands and feet. Psalms 22, 14, and 16. That particular scripture was given 1,000 years before Jesus walked on the face of the earth. Crucifixion wasn't even used as a way of torturing people to death. The Romans pretty much invented it and actually turned it into an art form as far as murdering people. Dr. Stoner says that the odds of this happening, just one person fulfilling 8 of those prophecies by accident, is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. To bring that into perspective, I'd just like to share what some people have said. Some experts have said, according to their calculations, in order for one person to fulfill just 8 of those prophecies, you would be more likely to walk out of your house tomorrow morning and be hit by a meteorite than for one person to fulfill just 8 of those prophecies. The chances of that is very slim. One person fulfilling 48 prophecies is a chance of 10 to 157th power. Now, these statistics really do not mean a whole lot to me, because I am not a mathematician, but someone who is understands every bit of it. One person fulfilling 300 prophecies, the chances of that is only Jesus. It had to be Jesus. He's the answer. Jesus is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And he's taken away your sins if you will confess him and believe him. You know, this is the real story. The truth that you must recognize and believe that Jesus is not just the Messiah, but your Messiah. You know, over the years, many intellectuals have come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We're led to believe in our society that people who have high intellect are smarter than to believe in Jesus. But that's the truth is, they're smart enough to believe in Jesus. C.S. Lewis was probably one of the most renowned intellectuals who accepted Jesus as his personal savior. He wrote many books, but of course he's known best by the Chronicles of Narnia. In more modern time, Lee Strobel is a more modern-day atheist who converted to Christ. He's written many books. Probably the most well-known is The Case for Christ. He tells his story, and of course they did a movie, A Case for Christ, on Lee Strobel's life and his conversion to Jesus Christ. And the reason that these men accepted Christ as their personal savior is because they began to question their atheistic belief system. They could see that there was something missing. And they started searching. Both of them actually started searching to disprove that Christ was the Messiah. But because of their research and their intellect, they came to the realization that Jesus really was the Messiah. But let me tell you something. Even though they intellectually discerned it, both of them had to get on their knees before the living God and ask forgiveness for their sins and receive him as their personal savior. Other recent atheists who have accepted Christ, converts, Jennifer Fulwiler, Leah Briscoe, Holly Ordway, all three of these women were hardcore intellectual feminist atheists who came to the conclusion that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Francis Collins is an American scientist, a physician, an intellectual, brilliant man. He's a geneticist. He's noted for his discoveries of disease genes and his leadership of the Human Genome Project, where they mapped all the genes of humankind. What an incredible accomplishment. He completed this project in 2003. He was an evolutionist and an atheist. But he began to see that there were some things about his belief system that just didn't seem to line up. So for 2 years, he researched. He wrestled with the question of the reality of whether God is real and the Creator, and did he send his son, Jesus Christ. He came to the intellectual conclusion that the things that are written in the Bible are real. But one day he had to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and bow his knee to the Lord. And he was walking, he was taking a hike in the Cascade Mountains. As he was speaking to God, he stopped, he knelt down, and he committed his life to Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us, you may know Jesus intellectually this morning. You may know that he is the Savior. But have you ever allowed him to come into your life and received him as your personal Savior? Jesus is the Lord. He is the Savior, but he is the only way. He told us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've never done that and you're listening to this message, I want to ask you to pray with me this morning. Please bow your head. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved by your grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he came back to life. And I believe that he did all this for me so that I would not have to suffer the torment of hell. Thank you, Lord. I believe and I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, please let us know. Get in contact with us. Let us know that you're a new believer in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you wherever you are, if you're listening to this, find a place as soon as this pandemic is over. Find a place to worship with godly people who love the Lord and who will encourage you and help you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for listening to this message this morning, listening, being a part of our streaming service this morning. I want you to know Jesus is Lord. He is on the throne and he is alive. And remember, love never fails. God bless.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and his kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.